Hello and welcome to episode 128 of Muse on Me.
Soundboard.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play conversions of Cirrus.
This is Chad and I play trolls.
Crump and Circle.
This is Keith and I play convergence of Cirrus.
This is Josh and I play.
Don't do it.
Convergence of Cirrus.
God.
I actually have played them.
Hey, look, three flaccid penises.
And a half chub.
They're all playing cop.
Oh, man. The best part is no one's going to get that joke until they listen to the preamble.
Oh, crap. That's the preamble. Well, that's awkward.
Oh. So go ahead and fast forward to the end of the podcast like you usually do.
That isn't the best part.
Yeah. Well, these guys aren't going to be good this week. Wait.
You guys fast forward. We'll wait here for you.
Yeah. Welcome back. What are we talking about this week? Oh, you know what? We had a fundraiser.
Boosh.
Like a million years ago.
And like a drawing for it.
We had a raffle. We had a really cool video that Colin blew up.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't either. We're like, Colin, have you got that video yet? And he's like, well, not exactly. My computer blew up. What do you mean? Every time I try to access the video, the computer crashes.
So well, we're like, that's fine. Just give us the card with the video on
it. He's like, I deleted it. Like, yeah. Why would you delete it off the card? Well, I want to save space since I had it on my computer. I didn't think I needed it. I was like, oh, my God, Colin, you are the harbinger of doom. Just,
that's terrible. Fine. That video sucked anyway.
So the end, the wrap-up for the fundraiser here has been, we're finishing up now doing the raffle, and we've drawn our raffle winners, and we're going to announce them now. The winner of the fully painted colossal or gargantuan of choice is, forgive me in advance, Eamon Grosek, EAMMONGROSEK. Congratulations.
I pronounced that Eamon. I don't know.
Congratulations! Yeah, like,
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay! Yay. Oh,
the winner of three fully painted heavy kits of choice is Mr. Adam Davis, number one. And there was much rejoicing.
Number one?
Yeah. Yay.
In our alphabetized.
I thought you just meant that, like, Adam Davis. Number one. He's a number one.
He was a number one in the raffle list.
Number two.
Yeah, we.
Oh. Congratulations on having the lowest alphabetically organized name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we used a random number generator to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And number
my brain.
One. Numero uno seemed to have come up. So.
And the winner of a fully painted battle box of choice from Canada, Bryn Holdstock.
Hate that guy.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay.
Boo.
I'm super excited for when Josh and Bryn and I are Team Canada 1.0.
Yes. Bryn, Crump and I totally made sure that you got this battle box, so you've got to get us on Team Canada for the WTC.
Yeah. Obviously, those guys were nowhere near the drawing for this very reason, because I have no moral standards, scruples, or anything like that.
It was Crump's totally legit raffle prize drawing.
Congratulations, you guys. Thank you for supporting the WTC fundraiser.
Yep. So winners, just let us know what you want, and we will communicate what you want and your shipping information.
You should have got an email from us already.
And we will communicate that then on to our...
IC Lead people.
Yep.
Yep.
Our sponsors.
Actually, what we'll do is I'll talk to Jay. Jay will ship the models to be painted over to IC Lead people, and then we'll get email addresses to each of you guys so you can kind of discuss paint
like,
scheme.
For like in the case of... Yeah, you'll need to talk about paint scheme, and then you also, like, the Battle Box winner will need to choose the battle box that they want painted, obviously.
So. Well, yeah, everybody will have to choose the models.
Yep,
yeah, pick three freebooters, the guy who got three heavies. Go. Do that.
And then make sure that you buy Dan and Blythe in bulk.
Combo kill.
You know, if you're really nice, maybe you could switch it to three Vanguards and you could build Hoffman's 14 Vanguard list.
Ooh, that's a start.
Yeah, you're
you're on your way.
A quarter of the way there.
11 more to go. What could possibly go wrong with this plan?
Nate does inspire me to get that many Vanguards.
I mean, the Vanguard is so good, you really can't have too many. It's impossible.
Correct.
I think that's been proven correct, actually.
Yeah. By Nate. Yes.
Yeah. I want to cast broadsides and take 14 hand cannon shots.
You know what I kind of want to do? I kind of want to build an anti-14 Vanguard list.
I'm curious what that list would look like.
Yeah. I don't know.
That might be a fun exercise.
Yeah,
maybe a Templar... Because they ignore the shield.
No, I was thinking more like
chain weapons would be good.
Templars would be good
because then you're going against arm 20, Not bad.
Like Ignited Templar would be like dice plus one?
Two.
I was thinking...
P-Star and P-Denny and 40 Satixes Raid.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to, like, we'll just feedback you to death.
Why not Epic Scar?
Figure it out.
For more feedbacks.
P-Scar has that spell as well.
Oh, God, what would Nate do if he saw that?
Yep.
He's like 14 Vanguards. What you going to do? And they're like 40 Satixes Raid.
And that's
like,
only 40 of my 75-point list.
Yeah, he got a couple arc nodes and the death jack, why not? So he can cast feedback to cycle
just
it.
Just like don't even do their horn attack. Just charge, whip, next guy.
Whip. Except you'll kill Bart, but you have no way to kill Shay.
He's got one Vanguard.
No, he has a nomad.
Oh, he has a nomad.
Also, she's got guided hand. And as soon as she can just kill him.
I was going to say, as soon as... As he sees what's coming on his turn one, Bart's just like, Vanguards, charge the Nomad. Just scrap it.
His entire list is 14 Vanguards. Once Bart dies, the list is done.
Yeah.
Shay is going to walk around for the next 14 turns, reactivating all these Vanguards, and then die.
I mean, actually?
You have 40 Satixis Raiders. You could probably literally surround the zone with Satixis Raiders.
And then Shay just swashbuckles into the zone.
and then does what? He doesn't contest.
You know what's actually kind of sweet?
That's legit.
Is now we don't actually have to build this list, because I'm pretty sure talking about it will mean that at least one or two people do.
Just
to give it to Nathan right in the old tailpipe.
Yeah, just so someone will own 40 Satixis Raiders.
That doesn't seem terrible.
That seems pretty terrible.
It's not hard to borrow 20 Satixis Raiders.
It's more terrible to own 40 Satixis Raiders than it is to own 14 Vanguards.
Yes.
I don't know. You could have some fun with theme with that, too. You could have, like, the Swedish bikini team. You could have, like, strawberry shortcake.
Okay,
like,
this is getting awkward.
40 Satixis Raiders with four Raider captains. All running 19 or whatever 18 inches on turn.
Oh no, Typhoon!
16 inches. That would be.
Yep, another 2 points. Another solo 2 points. Negates my feet.
Yeah!
That's not a problem, though.
Nice.
Yeah, they still have to roll to hit those Vanguards that are withering, probably. Under the withering when you've cast Dark Guidance.
Yeah, he only needs to roll like.
You need to roll not triple ones. Probably shouldn't bat.
No, more than.
So.
Yeah.
I think we should do a public service. We've helped Nathan out. What faction should Bryn play since he's getting a new battle box?
Convergence of Cirrus.
No.
The Convergence battle box is one of the most useful battle boxes.
Agree.
Yeah.
Bryn, just get another Maloth battle box or something.
Convergence of Cirrus. Or, they don't still sell Gorton or Magnus's battle box. Nope. P. Magnus would have been my next.
The Troll Club battle box has good value in it.
It's not a good battle box for fighting other battle boxes, but it's a good battle box for the models in it.
It's a good battle box to purchase in order to begin playing that faction.
It was really fun playing with it the other night.
P. Morgul's really isn't fun. Terrible, right?
Correct.
He gets two brutes in it.
And
two savages.
Whatever.
It's really fun up until the point when... They pop their feet and their sorcerer or Krios or whatever. Well, not. Well, I guess Krios has purification, so yeah. And they're like, oh man, feats are really good. What's your feat do? And you're like, no.
My guys get to.
It's like, my feat does, if I'm playing against the Legion battle box, maybe gives me one free attack.
I wanted to crush her off of Sorsha. It's like, I can just keep going, right? This is a battle box game. Why not?
Yeah,
but he killed the wild beasts.
Yeah, I'm going to start my crusher with Sorsha.
So, actually, yeah, Bryn probably will start Convergence. That's what I would start.
Or if you can still get the Gorton battle box, that one's legit.
Not anymore.
I don't know if they'll accept that as a
because you're going to get
all he needs an Earth Bunny.
Yeah, you're never going to use those jacks ever again.
Gun bunnies.
Much as Galleon has invalidated most human mercenary war jacks. The Earthbreaker has invalidated most Rulic.
To be fair, didn't all human warjacks like get invalidated except for the Nomad and Vanguard by the Nomad and the Vanguard?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a reason to take the Mule or the Mangler occasionally.
Sometimes you had 3 points left over and you took a Buccaneer because they're pretty sweet.
Yeah. Buccaneers are still sweet. I played a game with Emags and Devil Dogs marshaling two Buccaneers yesterday. It was Knockdown City.
Buccaneers. God, do you also have Dan and Blythe and Bull and a freebooter?
I didn't, sadly.
You suck.
Buccaneers are the most annoying scenario pieces ever.
Oh, my God. We're not
because they're like
about
13, 16, 22 boxes.
I'm not sure if they're 22.
Their armor 15.
Are they 15?
I thought they were 16.
16. I think they're 13. I think maybe they are 15.
I don't know. My. Anyway, every time I've had to deal with those things, it's been like taking me two turns to kill them and then have a wreck marker in front of you when you're playing Protectorate. It's the worst. Jim has done that to me so many times. It's made me just want to kill myself.
Killing my opponent's 6-point model.
3-point model?
Oh, I thought you were talking. You said Freebooter.
No,
I
said Buccaneer.
Buccaneer.
Buccaneer. The Freebooter is not, definitely not 13-15.
Hey.
It's worse.
Right.
Yes. Actually, it might legitimately be worse. It's like 10-18
or
something.
No, it's 12-17. It's the Mariner.
That was.
Were you about to make a pirate corn joke?
Damn it, Jeff. You ruined it.
You ruined it.
Crump, go ahead, tell your joke. I'm sure that Lance will fix it.
I'm pout now.
I'm sure Lance will fix it.
Yeah, Lance, savior of the podcast.
Josh,
why don't pirates like corn?
You screwed it up.
Yeah.
I don't know, Crump. Why don't pirates like corn?
Because it costs a buccaneer.
Really?
I thought it was how much do pirates pay for corn?
Yeah. No. That also works.
A buccaneer, yeah. Arr.
Hey. You're welcome, listeners.
I have a pirate joke, too.
See.
But it's kind of long.
This is going to be... Is it sexual?
How? Yes.
On a scale of... like, yes.
Story time.
Really?
Duh.
How about...
Story time. No.
After the cast.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll save it for story time.
Or Lance will save us.
Let's talk about some War Machine.
How about?
Yeah, we should totally talk about some War Machine. I believe that we still had War Machine Weekend from Keith and Chad, who was not with us.
I have no idea what you guys talked about the last two times.
We didn't talk about your game.
For sure.
Sorry, your two games.
You want to do that today?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So Chad played some games. He played against somebody from New York, and he got his stuff pushed in.
That's true.
And then he played against a guy from, I'm not sure where, and he pushed his stuff in.
Also true. I wanted to talk about my... sorry, guys. I wanted to talk about my game with Tim Simpson, because I thought it was really interesting.
Love Tim.
So, I do too.
The guy's legit.
We had been talking for a while. We mentioned on the podcast, too, about how Gristle 1 is a really good counter to Butcher 3 on paper, anyway, because of she has so many ways of shutting down spellcasting and stopping orders, and he needs to do both of those things. Like, he really needs to get orders, stopping him from receiving orders screws him really bad because he's a unit. And then he also needs to cast spells because that's where he does almost all of his work.
He needs
to pull things in. He needs to Flashing Blade, which is a spell. You know, if he has to just buy single attacks, it drastically reduces his output. And then Energizer is a big component of his threat game. So she just really, like, Cacophony seems like it just gets him coming and going and just, like, completely shuts him down. And Tim disagreed. He didn't think that it was that bad. And I've talked to several other Butcher players who were like, yeah, I've played that before, and it's not as bad as you think. Like, you can play around it. And so I was like, I'm very curious to try it out. So we played the game. I'm going to try and remember his list as much as I can. It was Butcher 3. He had Ayana and Holt. He had a War Dog. He had Greylord Turnians to put clouds on the Arguses. He had a full unit of Black Dragon IFP, because those guys seem pretty mandatory with him. The combination of Grievous Wounds and being able to choose your column on War Beast is just really stupidly good.
It feels really good. I'd like to see some people play without it and see where you could go, but it definitely seems like the gold standard right now.
He had the full Sniper Squad, which is the Widowmakers, a unit of Widowmakers, the Widowmaker Marksman, and Kel Balok. And what else did he have in his list? He had a Boker to protect, you know, the Butcher from getting shot with Iris, I'm assuming. And Beastar 9 was his only Warjack. So he can pretty much camp 6 every single turn because he doesn't need to allocate for Beast to be able to run.
Well, maybe 5 to upkeep Silence of Death.
That's what he ended up doing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if I forgot anything. He also had Epic Iris. She was in that list, too, now that I'm thinking about it. I might be forgetting one or two random models.
It seems like a lot of the Butcher List for Scene are like one Jag Frug only Beast, Aboker, Iris, and IFP, and then you'll see like the variation comes in that second unit, in which case, in this case, it's the Widowmakers. But yeah.
I'm just trying to remember if I don't think that there was another unit. I think that that was it. I might be forgetting something, though. But my list was it's the Gristle list that I've been playing lately, which is Gristle, a Pyre Troll, a Storm Troll, and that's it for her battle group. It's a very, very light battle group. A full unit of Long Riders with Horthal, a full unit of Warders as like my third line. And then the bulk of the list is, well, it's the Long Riders, I guess, is the bulk of the list. But the front force is a full unit of Fenblades with the UA, and then two Kith cars to follow them around. I also have a Creelstone, and trying to think if I have anything else. I think that's the whole list.
What's your battle group again?
Storm Troll, Pyre Troll.
Okay.
So it's a very support light list. My only support is the Creelstone.
And your Light War Beast, kind of. I mean, I guess Storm does a lot of work.
They both do a lot of work,
yeah,
actually.
That's true.
So the general idea behind my list, I'm not sure if I've talked about it fully in depth, but like people keep looking at it and they're like, well, I don't know if they really like Fenblades with her. You know, Creel Warriors seem better. And I'm like, I think Creel Warriors are better with her, but the reason I like the Fenblades in this list is because they don't serve the... Like, they do not serve the purpose of making... Oh, I also had a Chronicler. That actually ended up being very, very important in our game. Like, extremely, extremely important. The Fenways don't serve a purpose in my list of making attacks. Their only purpose is to jam up as far as possible with Hoof It, cause as many command checks as they can, be annoying with Hero's Tragedy so that, you know, even... So that in order to unjam your stuff, you have to knock down other stuff. And then... also to die and give Righteous Vengeance to the Warders, and it's or the Kith Cars. And it's funny because the Kith Cars with Gristle's feet and being able to reposition and then just how tough they are to kill, like they almost always, like those, that 4 points of models like justifies taking the 10 points of Fenblades. Because the Fenblades usually don't kill, like the Fenblades usually might kill like 1 or 2 points worth of models and then they die. But the Warders usually kill 2 to 3 times their value.
Or the Kith Cars?
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Kith Cars usually kill 2 to 3 times their value and then are, like, really tough to kill, like, and most of the time, like, end up being, like, surviving to the late game. I'm, like, so in love with the Kith Car right now. And I'm starting to think of the Fenblade unit as just, like, a 14-point unit for 14 guys.
Yeah, I've seen you with double Kith Car on the table a lot lately.
It's actually funny because every other module you play with is 14 points, too.
No, 16.
Oh, my bad.
But, yeah. So, I rolled the scenario we were playing was Destruction, is the one with the rectangle in the middle and the four...
the four monoliths.
Yeah, I thought it was originally going to be good for me, but those monoliths actually just jammed up. Like, they stopped the... They really hurt the buffalo really badly.
Yeah,
stopped
I can see that.
A lot of, like, advantageous charges. So I'm not sure it was good for me, but... first turn, I do my, you know, regular unpacking where I have my Fenblades run forward with spaces for the Long Riders to fit. Or actually, I have the Long Riders go first. And then I run the Fenblades sort of surrounding them, hoof it on them, have the Kith Car run up behind, and then the Warders are just, you know, dirtling up the field, because even with hoof it on the first turn, they'll just be occupying the same space as the Fenblades and the Long Riders. So they just dirtle around in the back. On his turn, he had his sniper crew walk up and just start making as many attacks as possible, and I was getting, like... I was on fire with my tough checks this game, and he killed 4 of my Fenblades and then knocked an additional 5 down, and they had a Tail of Mists, so they were all feign death or whatever. So he could have killed pretty much the entire unit, but I made a significant portion of tough checks.
That's pro.
It is pro. I'm a pro. And Tim sucks. No.
Roll more 5s and 6s on every die you roll.
It was very... It ended up... I'm not sure how significant it ended up being, but I think it was pretty big. Because then the Warder or the Fenblades were then able to hoof it next turn and stand up. Like, you know, they don't have anything to stand them up, but they stand up and then essentially still get to run with hoof it. And then the ones that are stood up get to run and then go an extra 6. So I still got to jam up his entire army basically with the Fenblades that I had left, engaging most of the Widowmakers and putting Fenblades in front of the Butcher. Hero's Tragedying them again, so it's really annoying for him to, you know, start getting rid of them. And then the Long Riders position themselves in the middle of the table, and the Warders finally, like, reach it into the Bailey, you know, basically, like, got barely into the zone. His turn, he spent... he actually was really good at being able to disengage all of his guys without suffering too many heroes' tragedies. I don't think he got any, actually, because Beast 09 doesn't fall over. Or, you know, Beast, only warrior models fall over.
So glad they changed that. It was a miserable period of time for a little while.
Yeah.
Then the playtest or something?
Yeah.
The field test?
Yeah, in the field test everybody fell over.
Well, you mean you had to activate the book first?
Yeah, it was not bad for you. It was
a
bad
2-point solo to cancel out another 2-point solo.
I think at that time
that
I was
made
playing
me realize how bad it was when Nate was playing Epic. He was playing Butcher 2 against me. And his feat is everything activates, gets blood tokens, and then activates essentially again at the end of the turn. Like, his entire army was knocked down at the end of the turn. So he'd be like, put three... Oh, god damn it. He'd be like, I'm going to put 3 blood tokens on Beast 09, who's knocked down. No.
Do you remember?
I guess I'll put it on this other thing. No. Wow.
Do you remember when Nate went to the forums and was like, I don't know what to do? And they were like, just trample over the trolls and kill their caster? Yeah. And he checked out at that point. He's just like,
he never went to the forums
again. He goes, I'm never going to the forums for advice again. Because that
that's actually sweet advice. I would totally do that.
That's such a glorious, that was such a glorious possible. Week for me when he was just like, trolls are OP. Like, there's literally no way to beat them.
How many times do you think he said, trolls are Kador times 2?
I don't know. Like 50? Once the bomber came out, like, that's all he ever said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it basically is like... It's like Behemoth times 2.
It's like, no, it's like Destroyer.
Destroyer times 2. Yeah.
Like, it's like a Kator times 2.
That was so funny to you because before the bomber came out, it was and you were abusing him with like Hero's Tragedy, it was always, I love Kador. They're the best faction ever.
He did love Kador.
And then it just turned into blah, trolls, blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah,
surprise. So between all of the guns he had in his list, so Holt was basically able to go and engage a couple of Fenblades and shoot them with Gunfighter, which doesn't cause him to knock down because it's not a melee attack. Most of his guys aiming still only need 7s to hit an engaged Fenblade, so he doesn't. And then it's like if a Widowmaker misses a Fenblade that's engaged with the Butcher, like who gives a crap if the Widowmaker hits the Butcher?
You know, I'll roll damage.
Do a point. Yeah,
you're like, and he does nothing. You know, okay, next guy shoots him. Looking for 7s. Oh, hit, got it. Okay, your guy's dead, you know. And so he was pretty much able to kill all of them, but it's still, you know, it took his, you know, whole activation essentially doing it. Then he had Iris, like, run up to... she just ran up to engage like 2 Long Riders to just try and block them. And his Iron Fangs sort of dirtled around in the forest. He also had Saxon Rorik to give his Iron Fangs a Pathfinder. So they were trying to stay like way out of the game. I'm not sure why he was having them so far back. But the Butcher, the big thing was that the Butcher put his 2 War Dogs into the zone and then was standing behind them with the clouds on them. And started to become a little scary for me because that's the point in the game where it's like, okay, I need to start screaming cacophony every single turn. But I also need to kill these dogs, but that also will trigger vengeance, you know? And, God, I just don't know what to do. So I decided that I had like a decent assassination. It wasn't great. It was like it was basically a coin flip. And it was a coin flip that was... It was way actually worse than a coin flip, now that I think about it, because it was a coin flip that was riding on a coin flip, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so it's like 25%.
In order to even, like, start the assassination, in order to even start the coin flip, I need to first land a Calamity on a clouded dog, which is a 10. So that was actually the very first thing that I did.
So you bet it all on black and then did it again?
No. Because I didn't need to go all in at this point, which this can tie into our topic later, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't need to go all in at this point because I could basically see if my plan was going to... I could see
at
if
least
I was
start.
Going to fail like at the beginning. So I just had her go first, pop her feet, because it's like, even if I wasn't going to get a tremendous amount of work done with my feet, like still having the extra protection from him, even if I trigger... I would have to trigger... Oh, he also had Madeline Corbeau. Forgetting things. So I would have to trigger Madeline Corbeau and Vengeance... And have nothing in the way in order for him to get to Gristle on her feet turn. Otherwise, it's, I think, impossible for him to get to her. Because if he's within 12, he can't cast spells and he can't charge. So, unless he can vengeance move and then intrigue move and then walk, he still can't. And even that is...
Wait, speed what?
Speed 5.
He's got 10-inch threat.
That's the 6 next. And then 11. So he...
He's at 13.
He's at 13. So if he gets both of those and can go directly towards her the full distance, then he can get to her with an inch to spare. But if he ever gets, like, if I put anything in the way so he can't vengeance directly towards her and he can't, you know, he can only intrigue, like. So, yeah, I feel basically invincible from him on my feet turn.
Sure.
So I pop my feet. I boosted the hit on the Calamity on the dog and rolled an 8, so it didn't come up. So then it's like, well, not going to go for that assassination now because it's completely off the table. If it had hit, I was going to try and slam the dog with one of my long riders, and then that would have knocked the butcher down. And then I think I could have gotten 4 warders to charge at him with 2 attacks apiece at POW. It would have been POW 10 because he was really, really good about never, ever triggering battle-driven, like inconsequentially. Like, he never had, like, Widowmakers just being like, oh, point that guy. You know, like, so he was really good about that.
So it would have been POW 13s?
Higher. It would have been POW 11, POW 13 with Calamity, and then POW 15 with the Pyre Troll Animus, which I could have gotten on 2 of them.
Sure.
So 2 POW 15 charges, and then 2 POW 15 non-charges, and then probably 1 or 2 warders, like, just POW 13 warders. Against an armor 26. Yeah. Or an armor 25.
Yeah. I don't love that.
I don't love that either, but...
Yeah, it's better than... I don't know.
I might have done it. Like, and anyway, so that it's irrelevant, though, because that didn't come up. So then I decided to... He was sort of walking through options with me, too, and he was like, well, if you just kill those dogs and then have guys, like, in the way, like, then I basically can't do anything either. And I'm like, you're right. Let's do that. Like, let's go all in for this plan. The very first thing I did after that was I had my... Kithkar, who had moved forward from Righteous Vengeance, walk into a little gap and then just use both of his attacks on Madeline Corbeau, because I was like, once she's dead, I don't have to worry about a lot. Right? It brings a lot of worry off of my mind.
Yeah. So she's public enemy number one.
I got her right away, so that was really good. I had my Long Riders... I had my Long Riders like charge in on the War Dogs and kill them. I had my warders, like, sort of, like, go up and, like, jam him and everything like that. Or I had my warders charge in on the war dogs and kill them. And then I had my long riders run to, like, get all in the way and everything. And then I had him, like, within 10 inches of me or whatever. So he could only move with... So I killed both Arguses. I killed Madeline Corbeau. I think... I can't remember if it was this turn or the next turn that I killed. I killed Iris with Horthal. He charged in to clear off the 2 long riders that she was engaging. And I can't remember if this was the turn I killed Ayana or not. I think it was. I think I left her alive, but she didn't end up doing anything because he didn't ever made an attack. So the tech thing was that I put Hero's Tragedy on the unit that was like all engaging him. So if the butcher wants to kill any of them, like he gets knocked down, and then it's just.
Yeah.
And then it's game on.
Yeah, then it's just Calamity auto hits, or not quite.
Yeah, I get a Calamity and still do the Pyre Troll Animus, and then he's got a... So it's basically the same as... It's basically the same as the turn before, but he's knocked down, and then I get to upkeep the Calamity for the turn after that, you know, and like hold some guys in back. I don't know. And I killed off most of his Widowmakers and... killed like 2 Iron Fangs and then backed everything up and had everything within at the end of my turn with Hoofit re-engaging and everything. I had the Long Riders up in his grill. I had the Warders like back a little bit, like in the middle of the zone, and then I had everything under Cacophony. Like I was just catching 3 of his Iron Fangs like at the edge of my control radius, and I had the Butcher like 11 inches away from me and stuff blocking him in so that he couldn't vengeance more than an inch forward. So I felt pretty good. On his turn, he basically couldn't do anything because of Cacophony. I think that he might have been able to walk out of my threat range, provoking some free strikes. And then and then pull Impending Doom, like, stuff out of my feet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then start flashing blading and killing a bunch of stuff, but then he would have been knocked down and in front of the warders. So I think he just basically decided to just tank. And Beast 09 killed a bunch of stuff. So at the end of this turn, I think I had all of the Long Riders but one were dead. And I still had five warders. And the Iron Fangs really just did not get to do anything because they couldn't give it order. So they were just basically irrelevant. The next turn, that was the turn that I got to kill Ayana with. So I had my Pyro Troll move up. He killed Ayana with the blast damage, deviated off of her. I targeted something else and it deviated on her. Boosted the blast damage. And then had my warders like move up at the edge of the zone, like basically three of them engaging the butcher. And I had Gristle move so that she was just eight and a half inches away from him, cacophonying him. So he could back up from the cacophony and be out of the cacophony, but then take three free strikes from warders. Or he could just go and engage them.
Did you tragedy them again too?
I did. Yeah. I tragedied them again. That's why I'm saying like the Chronic Bear actually became like a really, really important deal in this game. And it was funny because I think this was the turn after I tragedied the warders. Then he had Kel Balok move up on the flank and pop two shots but he had ran the turn before. So then he could aim and pop two shots into the Chronicler. And I made two tough checks. Again.
Pro.
I was really good on the tough checks this game. And that allowed me to keep the... So that ended up being a really big deal because it kept Charge of the Trolls online. Which is another way that I like can really... If I can get Charge of the Trolls and Calamity,
yep,
and then one or two Pyro Troll Animi, then it's plus six,
yeah,
with an additional attack. Like, then he's really screwed, I feel like. So at the end of the turn, the Butcher was engaged by a bunch of warders. The Pyro Troll was pretty, like, halfway up the zone, and he was in Calamity. And the Iron Fangs were going to be able to charge in on, like...
In Cacophony, not Calamity, right?
Cacophony, yeah. Yeah. The Iron Fangs were going to get to like charge in on like Horthal, I think, but they were basically like Horthal at that point in the game was just like sweet. Like, I'm just going to tie up an entire unit of IFP for basically the entire rest of the game. So Butcher on his turn, he provoked two free strikes from two warders, had to like sort of swing around the third one, and he could just barely engage the Pyro Troll through this gap that I left. And so then he spent his entire turn killing the Pyro Troll, because I think he felt like if he gets rid of that damage buff, it makes it a lot harder.
It does help, yeah.
I agree with his decision. I think what he didn't realize, and he told me this after the game, he thought that Hero's Tragedy triggered immediately when he killed something.
End of activation.
And it doesn't. It happens at the end of the activation. So what he actually could have done was just backed up out of, taken a couple of free strikes, whatever, backed up out of Cacophony,
Impending Doom,
and then dragged like four. I think it was three or four of the warders in, and killed them. I think it was three because I think we were talking about how I would have two left.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have killed half the unit and then been camping on six, and then the next turn I wouldn't have had basically anything left to kill him. So I'd had a Pyro Troll and two warders to try and kill a knockdown Butcher. I probably still would have tried it.
I think you might have killed him. It depends on how those free strikes went.
Right, right.
You know, a spiked roll, and now you're in business. So,
because
you get three of them. So if you spike one roll, if you roll like an 18 or something, put five or six damage on them.
And it's dice minus...
is 24. So it's
dice minus 15.
Minus 13, right?
Well, he was camping five Pot because 10. He had Silence of Death on himself. Pot 10, dice minus 15.
Yeah.
So you can't spike them. Like, an average roll is 14, so yeah. It's not unheard of to spike up higher than that. And actually, on the two free strikes he took, I did do seven damage over the both of them.
That's good dice.
So, yeah, the dice were in my favor all game long.
Yep.
So that would have been a good plan for him, I feel like, but it still would have given me, like, a little bit of a dicer's odds, like, on the out, just because knocking him down is such a, like, that's, like, half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What else did he do this turn? So Butcher, so he killed the Pyro Troll with the Butcher and then popped his feet to camp full. So then I had to try and kill a full camp Butcher with warders and no damage buffs. But him killing the Pyro Troll sets himself on fire because it burns.
It burns!
So that ended up being
the difference.
Significant.
What?
On his turn,
you killed him with a dice minus six fire roll.
On his turn, he and then he also moved. I think he had Reinhold in this list too, because I think I'm pretty sure he ran Reinhold to engage two warders, just so that I would have to try and kill. And Reinhold's, you know, defense 16, so he's annoying to kill. So now I have to kill that guy before I could have two of the warders charge him. So that's actually like this is where the quote unquote controversy happens. It wasn't really because we both love each other and it was, you know, a fun game for a casual fun game. But so my original plan was there was a gap where the Pyre Troll was, where I could go and have the Storm Troll run in to engage the Butcher to put
charge the
trolls online.
Yep.
But I instead and then I, but then I so that was my original plan. But then I was like, oh, I got to kill Reinhold. Oh, well, it's super easy. Reinhold's in base to base with one of those warders and not in base to base with one of the other warders. So I can have my Pyre Troll, or I can have my Lightning Troll, Storm Animus himself, go and punch that warder in the back, and then the Electro Leaps automatically kill him. So as soon as I came up with that plan, I did it without realizing that I only have one Lightning Troll, one Storm Troll. And I can't have it in two places at once.
Yeah.
So then I did that, and I was like, oh, God, I'm an idiot, Tim. And he was like, ah, that's fine, back it up. And I was like, okay, so we're going to do this Madison style. You win this game. We're going to back this move up, and we're going to pretend like the second game played out exactly identically to this game up to this point where I'm not an idiot, and I go this direction instead. And then I just had Gristle do that with herself. Like, she just put the Storm Troll Amos on herself, walked up and punched that warder in the back, like, electroleaped to the gobber, killed it. Gave two attacks to the warders, and yeah, that was all that she did. And then I basically got five. It was all five warders, like all POW 13, two attacks on him, and brought him down to two life. I had three charges, I think, and two non charges. So like I said, my dice were pretty good, but it ended up being dice minus 13.
Yeah, that's pretty good dice. You can still
spot. For some reason, I thought it was dice minus 11.
How much was he camping?
I thought he popped his feet. I might be just remembering this game wrong and then, you know, wasting everyone's time.
I think there's a lot of valuable lessons to learn from that game.
24 on full camp, so.
Oh, I thought he was 26 on full camp.
No. He's 24.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, so it was dice minus 11 because they were POW 13. Mm. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I got
that's
I,
way better.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Times five.
Yeah, all the other math I was doing was wrong too. Then, right. That's for some reason, I thought he was Terminus with Derek Wraith and not Dara Wraith. Sorry, Irish guys, and not the Butcher, who only goes up to 14 or 24. So yeah. Anyway, I took him down to two. Then with all of my orders, like everything's.
And you rolled an 8 on the fire roll,
and then I needed to roll an 8 on the fire roll, and I got it.
Otherwise, you were dead, right?
Otherwise, he kills all five warders. And then I have to try and kill him with Gristle, I guess.
Gristle,
if she doesn't die herself,
she might die because. Well, he's also presumably standing there, so he can, depending on how many flashing blades it takes to clear a spot for him to
Energizer. I think it would have been better for him to put 3 on Beastonine, Energizer, and then have Beastonine just try and kill Gristle.
Yeah. Because he can imprint for boosted attack rolls,
and
right?
And he also, like, because the Storm Troll was standing right there. He can also just have the Butcher use like 2 or 3 attacks on the Storm Troll and just see if he kills that.
Yeah.
And then she has no transfers, you know, and then I don't have any targets to transfer to. Even if he doesn't kill it, like, he can bring it down to, after allocating it 3 and energizing for 1 or 2 or however much it would have taken, like, he can still do 2 attacks to it, which brings it down to like 8 life or something like that. And,
how far away was Gristle? Because he could also like flashing blade charge, right?
I guess he could. Well, he doesn't want to take any free strikes, so he's got to kill with his flashing blades, which is not.
Yeah, I mean, just like 2 flashing blades should kill all the warders, though.
Dice minus 5? I guess you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I watched this guy.
He's absurd.
He's absurd. Yeah.
Focus. Yeah. Kill a unit of warders.
I have watched Chunky killed Gorton. When I was camping too and spinied and Butcher was feeded on and blind. Killed Gordon. I watched
that.
Yep. I watched.
It is like, surely I'm safe. His caster is blinded.
And feeded on.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Blind speed 2.
Can't cast offensive spells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
so he couldn't cast. Yeah. He doesn't have an offensive spell, does he?
He's got a flashing blade, extremely offensive.
Yeah. I do too.
That's not an offensive spell, though.
But and I've also watched Pagani bring Butcher into the middle of the table where he was engaging both Ram Hands and a Stalker, and roll Snakes to hit three times, roll a five or less on damage twice.
Three dice?
Yes. And still kill both of them with enough to energize her back in camp one. The guy is absurd.
The Butcher is dice minus one weapon master against a Warpole Stalker.
Yeah, that's correct.
So
every time I watch that guy only played, hits on fives. I'm like, oh my god, this looks like the most fun caster in the entire game.
He does seem pretty amazing. I was thinking about your game, Chad. I know how to fix this up for your next rematch with Tim.
Yeah.
Just put two Throgs in the list, but don't tell him.
Don't tell him. Who do I take out?
It doesn't matter. Because just when he comes...
Just play 6 points up.
Yeah, just when he comes in, you just be like, all right, you're right there. Sure.
Yeah, Throgs would screw him bad. it was a really, really good game. Like, I'm really glad we played it. I don't think it is as cut and dry as I thought it was. I think that I could have played a little thing. I think I could have played things better, and I'm not sure the scenario was great for me like I thought it was originally. Because those...
tough checks were important in
those
game.
The tough checks were really important, and my dice were helping me out, like, pretty much, too. So I'm not going to say, like, I didn't steamroll him or anything like that. Like, it was not at all like that.
I'll say you did.
But man, it was pretty cool, too, because there was, like, a pretty decent crowd, like, by the end of it, like, people watching. Yeah.
I think Tim actually won that game because Chad didn't get his ribs.
Well, anyway.
Why are you going there?
I think...
can you be so stupid?
Yeah, really?
You're dumb.
Killing both Dogs and Madeline Corbeau on the same turn is really big for you, right? Because if you don't do that, then you're only a 9-inch on Cacophony. So if he gets a free move where you're catching him at 8.5, he can free move out and then charge in, right?
Yeah.
So that's really important for you to be able to do.
Once both Dogs are dead and Corbeau is dead, I feel really, really good.
Right.
Like, and then it's all about positioning, and you have to do things like, you want to make it, like, really bad for him to get out.
Right.
Because, like, that's what I was trying to do, and if I could have figured out a way, like, maybe I should have just had stuff, I might have been able to do this, like, have stuff hoof it behind him, just completely box him in.
Yeah.
Because if you can box him in and then prevent him from, like, if you can prevent him from moving and also from casting spells, then he's effed.
Yep.
Because, like, if he can back up, though, and then Impending Doom and then start Flashing Blading, like, Flashing Blade is what makes him good.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad they took 360 away from him?
Yeah. But if he can't, like, that was, because I just kept thinking about that. I was like, oh, God, my stuff is so dead. But then I kept realizing, well, if he comes in to attack it, like, actually, he can only do one attack at a time.
Right.
And that's just horrible.
It completely changes, like, his work. Yeah. But... Yeah,
and it changes him from killing an entire unit with two focus to spending all of his focus and killing three
things. Yeah. Yeah,
for a while there, I was I had stopped playing the book in as many lists, and then Butcher 3 came out, and I was like, well, that goes back to being an auto include.
Yeah, I think book, like, anything that's like no spells is really big.
It's the combination of no spells and no orders on her that I feel like really is what gives me an edge. But
yeah.
I think you're exactly right, and I didn't really realize that until we started talking about it. But I think that killing those two elements in one turn, like, and it has to be the feat turn.
It has to be the feat turn for Gristle in that particular matchup. But I think in general that's kind of what I like watching Flamser play against, and he had something similar in that he had Dahlias and Scarith in his list, so he could.
And he also had a control feat.
Yeah, he also had a control feat. If you can knock Butcher down and then go for those so that he doesn't even get the Vengeance move on that turn, that you, like, if you knock him down, he's not going to get Corbeau move, even if she's still alive, and he's not, because of the way the timing works, he can't stand up until after Vengeance has already happened. So that's also, I think, a good strategy for fighting against him, is knocking him down and then trying to remove his special movement pieces.
I still like the matchup, just because I've got, like, a lot of stuff, like, you know, like, the Long Riders have really good knockdown potential.
You have a lot of denial that hurts him.
Specifically him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I think, you know, like, he's, like Tim said, you know, if he had identified, like, a couple of things earlier, like, you know, he doesn't mind taking... He already took two free strikes anyway to kill the Pyre Troll. Like, just takes an extra one and then kills most of the warders. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Butcher Three.
Hero's Tragedy, though, really, like, it's, yeah, it's Cacophony and Hero's Tragedy.
I really want to, yeah. I would love to play that guy just because he's, like, the anti-Menoth caster. He's, like, opposite to Menoth in every way. Mm-hmm. Man, that guy would be fun.
Yeah, I want to play that guy a lot.
So, the key to beating Butcher is knocking him down and preventing him from charging.
But knocking him down and
not blinding him and feeding on him.
No, don't blind him and feed on him to give him minus 3 speed because he'll still kill you.
I found shadow binding him to be effective.
I could see that being the case, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to knock him down with Krios and then shoot him with Pierce. Ta-da!
Yeah, anyway, I hope that the battle report didn't completely fall flat. Like, it was a super interesting game for me to play. I'm glad we both played it. Just because... That was... Oh, my God. Sorry, guys.
Oh, we're like 45 minutes in, plus a 9-minute preamble.
You spent my entire battle report.
Yeah.
That was your War Machine weekend. That game actually took 3 days.
Yeah.
It was very epic.
I'm so sorry.
My favorite part of War Machine weekend was hanging out with my son. He's actually going to start playing War Machine now. I think he's going to do conversions with me.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Speaking of convergence, I'm going to make people wait on my War Machine weekend battle report some more.
Why? I figured it would be short.
It's going to take a while.
It's not like I just... But P. Magnus popped his feet and the freebooter got there.
But I played a game last night against Lance with Iron Mother.
Oh, she's my favorite.
I played Carrier Group.
Carrier Group!
Which mostly the name of it caught my attention because it reminds me
of StarCraft.
It reminds me of StarCraft.
StarCraft.
I love the Carrier.
Carrier has arrived.
Good times. So my Carrier Group list, as with most Carrier Group lists, has two Prime Axioms in it.
I like it better with one, I think.
But then you don't get six solos on turn one.
I wanted to see it. So I've got two Prime Axioms, a Corollary, and the Diffuser, which is the lucky shot long charge guy.
Mm-hmm.
Two units of Optifex Directive, and I'm kind of feeling like two units of Optifex Directive is darn near mandatory. For
really?
All convergence lists.
Those are the guys that have the... They can make things magical and...
Yep.
And they repair.
And repair.
One of them is repair 8. It's 2 points for 3 repair 8s. Their field allowance unlimited. Like, it's really tempting to put, like, 12 of those guys in a list.
Just be all like...
Because you're like, oh, my Prime Axiom lived? It's back to full.
Do they have any chance of doing work at all?
They're mat 5 pow, like, 8s.
That's good, because she's got harm and flare.
So
they're mat 7, pow 10s.
That's really good, actually.
After you acquire her whole army.
That's like Creelstone level support.
Yeah, and they have Iron Sentinel, so they're kind of hard to remove if they just butt up to the back of an Axiom.
After we talk about your list, I want to talk about a list that Spencer shared with me.
Yeah, I've been trying to build a non-carrier group directrix, because I'm fairly confident it's not the way to go, but it was fun. So two Axioms, Corollary Diffuser, two sets of Optifex Directive, and then 9 Reflex Servitors, which are the countercharge bots. And those get advanced deploy per the Theme Force. I think they just are advanced deploy, but they get it.
I think the countercharge bots are, I think.
And then on turn one, I can do a lot of different things with the Theme Force bonus that allows the Axioms to make 3 Servitors instead of 1. The standard play would be to drop 6 more Reflex Servitors so you have 15 countercharging bomb bots floating out front of your army to soften up any infantry on its way in.
Also, those Axioms on the feet turn can kill a surprising amount of infantry.
Amazing.
Yeah, becoming Rat 8 with 2d3 shots each. No, 6 shots each, sorry. And then the 2 tow cables auto-kill because they puncture.
Yep.
So you're just like... Kacha, kill 2 units, ta-da.
God, that's awesome.
Yeah. Rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, pop-pop.
Plus, she's got a gun and then shrapnel swarm, so...
Her gun is friggin' incredible.
Yeah.
Aperture blast.
Power 15, right?
Yeah, range 11, 13 when she...
Fire groups.
AoE 4, power 15.
Wow.
It's a really good gun.
Ta-da.
That competes with the axe.
Yep.
For best gun in the game.
Mm. With the axe. So Lance was playing all the horses...
It's no Buster.
Yeah, that's the best gun in the game.
Yeah.
It's close.
Buster's really good. Buster has Arcane Fire.
Yep.
Anyway, Lance was playing all the horses. He had a full unit of Grey Lord Cav, a full unit of Dracoons,
Ulans.
Ulans.
Oh, my God. I love that list.
Two Dracoons.
I'm in.
Two Dracoons. Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
And Fenris.
Guys, literally
Joseph Stalin is
Markov.
Kovnik Markov, yeah. Yes.
A battle engine and Drago.
I like that list.
The countercharge bots were not going to do much this game.
Other than be annoying.
They're past 16s with Imperil.
Yeah.
They're not going to do much, but if they charge in and just get in the way of a Ulan, then the Ulans are unable to charge. And when they can't charge, they're super sad.
The past 16 is not boosted, right?
No.
Because it's...
They're never boosted.
Yeah.
So, I went first. No, I went second. Lance went first. He ran up on me. So I moved some bots up into zones. On my first turn, I actually got Directrix in range to shoot a Grey Lord Cav. I was just like, boosts seem good. I put Tax Supremacy on herself, which seems like the right place to put it most of the time.
In this list, at least. I agree.
So she knocked out one of the Grey Lord Cavs with the Aperture Blast. One of the Axioms got in range of another Grey Lord Cav and knocked him out. The rest of it was just repositioning. He was able to clear a lot of bots on his next turn. Like, the Grey Lords wipe him up pretty good. Like, sixes to hit with Hand of Fate.
What doesn't wipe bots up? They are terrible defensive stats.
Grey Lords seem especially good at it, just because they kill two or three apiece. Yeah.
If you don't ignore cover, it's hard to kill the countercharge bots. They're 16, 13, and ignore blast damage.
Oh, because they dig in.
Because they dig in everywhere. But yeah, his list did not care very much about digging. So.
Oh yeah, that guy's not dug in anymore, and now he's dead.
The battle engine beat up on the diffuser a little bit. I wasn't giving any charges away for the axioms on turn one, so it was at this point he kind of had to put himself in harm's way. There wasn't much on the field to prevent drags that was within range of the colossals, and we were playing outflank. So on my next turn, Directrix feeded, and we used the corollary to basically keep three on both, corollary plus allocation to keep full focus on the axioms. And so Directrix feeded, aimed, fire grouped. My Imperil bots hit both of the Manowar Dracoons.
Nice.
Nice.
Seemed pretty good.
How many horses got drugged to their death?
Both Dracoons, one Grey Lord Cav, and an Ulan. And another Ulan got killed by pop guns after his friend disappeared, because one of them got pulled away, and then he wasn't in defensive line anymore, and then the Axiom's little pop guns were like, dice minus five, or dice minus four or five, or whatever they were.
They're power 13s with Imperil. Oh, no, you didn't Imperil.
They're power 11, dice minus six, because there's 17, 19 with six. Defensive line.
I was thinking you Imperil the Ulans, but you Imperil the Dracoons. Yep.
So, yeah, I was able to, and I scored a point that turn, because my Axiom was the only thing left in one of the zones after it dragged in the Dracoon on the Grey Lord side and killed the two Grey Lord Cavs. There was one Grey Lord Cav left alive outside of the zone, and that side was pretty much clear. The other side had Drago and the Battle Engine and the remaining three Ulans in the zone, with Vlad and Markov behind a wall just behind the zone, because he didn't want Vlad to get dragged to his very imminent death.
That is the one thing about two Axioms. It's a lot harder to stop all the drag lanes. So that's interesting.
The big mistake I made this turn was not launching flare bots, which I needed for the next turn. So I didn't have flare bots for the next turn, which is a problem, because the three Ulans came in and scrapped one of Axiom's sides, and Drago kind of repositioned. And I was like, oh, man, maybe I can kill all three of those and get Drago dragged in and put some damage on him. And then I was like, oh, wait, not really, because I need eights to hit those stupid horses. So I was like, allocate three to Prime Axiom, and he started, like, punching and didn't even kill all three Ulans.
Fail.
After getting all his systems repaired, of course.
Oh my god, it seems so good.
I cannot wait.
Yep. He didn't get fully healed, but he was certainly back to very operational.
I'm very curious why you don't think this is good, or why you don't think it's the best.
Why Two Colossals is really hard to play.
We'll let you finish.
Because it was, I mean, I still couldn't put that Axiom on the left side into the zone. If I had, it would have gotten charged by all the Ulans and Drago at the same time.
It seems like it would blow up.
And would have died. So I had to leave it back.
Let me tell you
about... Just try to contest with Servitors, and then he easily scored a point that turn.
When he's done with this, I'll tell you about Spencer's list, and you'll be like, oh, that's much better.
But anyway, so I was able to clear up all but one of those Ulans who was left at like 2 health. And then but I had to leave Drago in charge range. But I got Directrix into the zone behind the other Axiom to score 2 more points.
It's, what's really cool about all of the convergence like mechanical guys is you can do more with them because they have good defensive stats and are repairable.
Yep.
Which is
love some repairable.
Insane.
What did you find? Which servitors did you find yourself placing most of the time with the Prime Axioms?
I ended up dropping a fair number of elimination servitors in this game just because it would be like...
Those the like one wound guys?
Yeah,
the out-of-point guys.
So I did like 5 or 6 points of damage to the battle engine with various little PPU shots and a few damage here and there to Dracoons. Mm-hmm. I kind of get dismounted one of the Dracoons with it. It was like left at one, and I was like,
Nice. that's cool.
But I should have dropped flare bots at some point after realizing I kept trying to drop work bots instead of support bots, and I should have dropped support bots.
In that list, it's the Axioms do the work. Everything else is just there to make sure they don't die.
Depending on what I'm playing against. Like, there are definitely games where the bomb bots are going to clean up.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, if I was playing against Crix, it'd be like, all right, we're gambling it all on these bomb bots.
Well, the thing is, you still...
This has to work.
Like, you still have...
Bring me a garbage can so I can throw my flare bots in it.
You still have options, though, because you can be like, direct Crix's gun to double shrapnel swarm every turn.
Right.
And just go after infantry.
Yeah, I mean, no, that list can clean up infantry. It just has to have, like, the bomb bots are there to prevent the infantry from getting there as much as anything
Does
else.
Does the shrapnel swarm stay in play, or is it just
off? Mm. Okay. No, but it is puncture on an AoE, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a 4-inch AoE, I believe.
It's actually if it drifted, but it's still pretty
awesome.
Good.
Does it, it's only direct hit.
If you direct hit, it plays the AoE.
Yeah. I think that's a little less good, but still good.
Yeah. I think can it direct hit an enemy
I was about to ask, can you direct hit a friendly?
Because if you could direct hit a servitor.
On a direct hit against an enemy model.
Bugger all.
Center of 4.
Damn, bugger.
After resolving the damage roll,
it'd be a lot.
Damn.
A lot sweeter if you could just be like.
So it's still, like, it's still, it's you can still get around it with good positioning, which is good. Jesus.
I mean,
run your warders. Mark one shield wall against me. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Your warders still don't care.
Want them to direct hit that. You're like, auto point? Sweet.
Yeah. Well, the direct hit is a POW 13. Everything else on is a 4. Right?
POW 13.
Roll the POW 13.
Let me tell you about a power that warders don't care about. POW 13. POW 14. POW 15.
Ta-da!
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. They're like, oh, that scratches, I guess. Hey, look, you're tickling me.
But yeah, I was fairly impressed with Directrix. I definitely want to play her some more against some more traditional styles of lists, because all the horses, while it's interesting to see, is not, it's not... It's not representative of a lot of things.
After
you want to play her against an infantry swarm and then kill 16 models with your prime axioms.
Yeah, I want to see how it does against an infantry swarm. I want to see how it does against some armor stacking.
After the game and you're talking about it last night, like I feel like you might have been more impressed with the list unless if on turn one you just made 6 flare bots.
Even on if I had just made 2 on turn 2, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely Directrix. And convergence in general requires some
flair,
some know-how to play.
Yeah.
Did you guys? Do you guys remember Spencer from Lock and Load?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the guys that went to dinner with us. It was Mike, Spencer, and Bryn from Canada. Spencer sent me just a random. Like, I haven't talked to that guy in forever. He sent me a random Facebook. He's like, "Hey, I want to get your thoughts on this Directrix list." And after I saw it, I was like, "Oh, I'm pretty sure that's a list I'm going to play because I freaking love it."
We'll see how close it is to the one I just built on my phone.
All right. Battle group is Corollary, Monitor, Cipher.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Monitor is the
TrueSight.
TrueSight.
Yeah, range 13.
I just have to pull up my phone whenever people start talking about conversions. Now I'm like,
it's TrueSight, like, range 13, crit brute damage.
Yep.
And then he's got a POW 17, I think. Melee.
Yep. POW 17 sustained.
Yep. So, but so that's the battle group. There's some other things that we talked about maybe tweaking, but his original list had the shield wall guys. Because tax supremacy on them makes them pretty relevant in...
Reciprocators.
Yeah, in scenario.
Agreed.
Had one foundry to kind of replace them. Yep. I think it had six of the guys you were talking about, the repair guys that do everything.
Yeah. So three units of directive?
Two.
No, if he's got six, it's two units.
Six, yeah. And then I can't remember what else was in the list, but I told him that I really wanted to see a min unit of the spray six guys with clear.
Sure.
So we were talking about that. But what I really loved is the battle group.
Obstructors, maybe?
Cypher.
Reductors.
Cypher, monitor with Directrix's gun and harm. So if you get harm on, like, a heavy, Directrix's gun becomes POW 17.
Is it POW 17 with harm?
Yep.
Okay.
And then both of the monitors can
POW 15.
Become POW 15 with crit brutal, and because of the corollary, you can boost a hit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for free, basically, yeah.
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 So... often they're going to be the equivalent of POW 18 and a half. So you have this really strong ranged element that allows you to shoot heavies off the table.
And they have true sight, too, so you can even...
you can pick off solos, right?
You don't have to worry about...
suck it, Gorshade.
Right.
You don't have to worry about shot pack.
Yep. And then the Cypher is really good because it allows you to put out long-range flares if you need to help.
Mm.
Or put down rough terrain to slow people down while you're pounding them with these guns. If you play against infantry, harm plus the Cypher's two POW become POW 8 AoEs. So 2 4-inch AoEs. We have shrapnel blast, which we talked about. Directrix's gun. And then the monitors can just pick off, like, the important solos. So depending on what... it's a very flexible group, and it's going to create a situation where you're going to get up big, and then somebody's going to get close to you, and you're still going to just pound them. It's going to be rough.
Sounds very Menoth-y.
It did sort of appeal to me.
What was the rest of the battle group?
It was the shield wall guys.
Reciprocators.
And then the guy, the foundry that puts them back into play.
Yeah, one unit?
Yes, only one.
And one foundry.
One foundry. And there was, like, a steel soul protector. But I really appreciated the list because it was very multiple in what it did.
By the way, someone was playing with a steel soul protector at the shop yesterday. Gorgeous looking model.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It looks beautiful. I did not realize how big they were.
They're very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really cool. But yeah, that list, or some variation of that list, will be probably where I start, because I love the idea of double monitor Cypher. I think that's a really strong battle group for her in particular, because with fire group, those monitors shoot 15 inches. Pretty sweet.
Mm. It is pretty sweet. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't...
I like the... How much is the point? The module for the reciprocators and the foundry? Like 11?
12.
12?
12, yeah.
I like that module a lot, because it's not very often that people kill a unit of 5 multi-wound guys, like, in one turn. And if you can get, you know... just being able to bring... even back, being able to bring one back at full health is going to prolong their
know,
effectiveness a lot.
I think so, too.
And then if they're spending all of their attacks trying to kill the foundry, then they're not shooting at the reciprocators. Yeah. That's basically plus value for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? The other thing that's pretty cool about this list in a range fight is you have a lot of repair guys, and you can make all of your guys' magic weapons when you shoot. So you're just like, whatever, Menoth, we'll get into a shooting fight. That's fine.
Don't the Optifex also give Pathfinder?
They do.
They're everything that Menoth wants.
Convergence does seem fun when people talk about it.
Yeah. I think... I might put the Hunter's Mark guy on that list.
Yeah.
So that when somebody gets close, then I have the option of charging my Jax in and getting the Alpha, maybe, perhaps.
Diffuser.
Yes.
Charges for free as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's a lucky Hunter's Mark.
But anyway, that I think...
I was just thinking that list, the one thing that list doesn't, like, do great with is super high armor, but, like, you've got the harm, and then...
the Cypher is POW 18, so he's POW 20 with harm and two base attacks.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charge for free.
I think it's fine. You have three heavies.
I mean, that's, to me, the thing that, like, instantly attracted me to the mother, and, like, to begin with, is just she comes with two imperil bots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a caster that just comes with two harms is...
double Ionas.
Yeah, that's...
she also forever. Actually, she's just going to be infinite.
Infinite Ionas.
And then she also has, like...
and their arms that can hit the Avatar.
Yes, because they're just guns.
Yeah.
They're magical. Well,
they're not magical guns. They're not. They're Rat 5. Rat 7, because flare.
Yeah. But they can flare and they can aim.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Rat 9!
Oh, Rat 9!
Better than Ayana!
Oh my god, it's like if Ayana could aim.
Anyway, Spencer sent me that list.
She totally should be able to.
Can't aim.
And when I first looked at it, when I saw the double monitor, I was like, I feel like monitor is a one of in a lot of lists.
Yeah.
It's a really good one of, but in this particular list, I was like, oh man, with Harm, with
fire group,
like that's actually a really good jack.
I was, your point about brutal damage.
21?
No.
And the fact that most of the time Inverter they can allocate two to their entire battle group for literally no cost because of freaking Corollary.
Yep.
Seems really, really, really good.
Playing with the Corollary, the thing that I noticed, and this is just going to require more practice on my part, is the hardest part about using it, especially with Directrix, who's more active than I think almost all the other Convergence casters are going to be, is that the Corollary only gets that focus if it activates within 3 inches of your Warcaster. So with Directrix in particular, I noticed that created some order of activations issues because I wanted Directrix to go first to get Fire Group active. But then
she would walk out of range of the Corollary.
Right.
Why didn't just have the Corollary go first?
That's the kind of thing where you're like,
that guy doesn't
having some Trolls and Menoth experience is going to be very valuable there because you're like, order of activations.
Yeah, so the Corollary just needs to go first. But
which was fine.
I don't remember if there was a reason why that was. I think I may have just put something in its way.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just going to take a little practice.
Just getting used to using it.
I mean, it's like the same thing watching JVM play troops. he's got to get used to it.
I really think that one of the pieces that I want to at least try with her is the battle engine.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
I mean, I think the battle engine is just straight bonkers good.
Because you can get it to like probably 2/3 kill a heavy if you can harm and flare it. And then you just like set all three bots in damage.
5 dice.
He's like, here come 2 5 dice POW 12s. Enjoy.
Good old TF emergence P.
Indeed. The TFP.
Yeah. No, I definitely think I 100% agree with that. The only thing I'm really struggling with in general with Convergence is I'm going to tarp it with. I think it's the shield wall guys, pretty much.
The reciprocators or either of them. Like either the
reciprocators or obstructors.
Yeah. Or the obstructors. Yeah. I think they can both.
Dudes.
The obstructors or the small base.
Yeah, they're not
they're
the
12-14s.
Best. They're 12-14s. But they have reach. Yeah. So you can stagger them out like you do with, like, say, Steelhead Helms.
Except they're
and
like
they die quicker than Steelhead Helms. But with Foundries, you can replace 3 every turn that died.
That's
like
you just play them kind of like Mechanithralls, and you're just like, here's more,
slightly harder to kill Mechanithralls.
Yep.
Maybe double Foundry,
double Foundry obstructors.
That's double Foundry
obstructors, and then the spray guys behind them. Actually, might not be a bad module.
I mean, I definitely like the spray guys with the reciprocators because those guys I want
to
just the medium based shield ball guys
obstructors that you can't kill them all in one go.
Right.
Yeah.
You just leave
20
one in the insurance position.
Yeah. You need 20. And you leave one
You just leave one in the more Vana position.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's a podcast, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
Sorry if my battle report fell flat.
I love battle reports.
I found it intriguing.
Look at them. They love it.
They love it.
All right, Josh, you said you had a joke?
Oh, Christ. Pirate joke. Sexy pirate.
Sexy, dirty pirate joke.
No, it's not like a story.
It is kind of. Yeah, buccaneer you are next time.
You bucked an ear.
I bucked an ear.
All right, that is sexual.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 128. This has been Fat Asian.
Josh.
Keith.
Crumb.
Yar, har, har, har. Chad. Thank you.
go towards it, you automatically.
So it also has awe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it absolutely has awe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Test, test, test. 1, 2, 3.
Stupidly awesome.
Hump day.
Stawsome.
Best stawsome. It's stawsome.
Instead of having stealth, it can It can have a rule where attacks automatically hit it. That's fine.
Can be else, Miss Colin.
But it also has impervious flesh.
Ancient shroud.
With like 22 boxes.
That's the standard troll light.
Do you guys
standard troll light? That's fine.
Yeah, you usually have to hit them 22 times before they die.
Do you remember the My Little
regeneration?
Do you guys
like,
remember
this doesn't need the krill stone? This is sweet. I like it.
Do you guys
day trolls?
Do you guys remember the My Little Pony playtesting test, basically? Where they had one of the
apocalypse.
Yeah, one of those casters had Ancient 20, Shroud.
Yeah, 20 wounds with Ancient Shroud.
Yeah. Did you know that at TempleCon 1 year I actually saw the My Little Pony army? Somebody
spray,
actually built it.
It was a spray 20?
Wait, what?
I don't remember if it was.
I just remember Ancient Shroud on a caster. And I was just like,
I had like a spray 20 that was like past 16 armor piercing or something.
How
like
do you
that.
Even do you just put another spray template at the end of
well,
the first
just
spray template?
Rules.
So yeah, they were
no,
like
you just extend it out 10 inches. So, and so at the end it's like 7 inches wide.
So they were looking for new playtest groups. So as a test, they put out these rules that had a few things maybe not so balanced. And like
for that weren't rules of the game.
Yeah, semi fixes for this army, and it was like this, like My Little Pony army.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild.
You remember when they posted the like comment on these models if you want to be like an internal or an external playtester or something? And one of them was like Kane's Hunter, and you're like, oh, that thing's legit. And then one of them's like
Harby's Devout,
and you're like, nope.
I don't remember.
It was just. Like, damage dealt to her could go to the Devout instead.
No, it was damage dealt to the controlling Warcaster can instead be...
Dealt to the Devout.
Dealt to the Devout.
For so injuries. She can just she can
just
martyr
forever.
She can martyr with the Devout's boxes.
And the repair mechanics. So
there's just the Devout sitting on the backboard edge with three mechanics around it.
So, so she like, literally turns into Morvana overnight.
I mean, that's probably... That's way
it's
better.
Probably better. Nothing ever dies.
Yeah. Also, it would just give every single Menoth caster, like, plus 26 hit points. Plus 26 repairable hit points.
Yep.
I thought it was
also true.
I thought it was specifically an affinity.
No.
Yeah, okay.
It was
even
just called Harby's Devout.
Yeah. It was called Harby's Devout.
I think it was to give players a clue as to what could happen with if they had just said
there
a Devout.
There were two traps, and that was one of them that was like, obviously this thing's like can't happen.
Yeah.
Or could.
And the other one was the Crix Jack. Which, like, a lot of people would, like, Keith was saying that, like, the trap for the Crix Jack is people would be like, well, Crix Jacks suck anyway, so, like, let's just leave this one as it is.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it was, had, like, an affinity with Gore Shade, where it gained Stealth and Dark Shroud, which is a spell that he already has.
Uh-huh.
So, it just did nothing.
Yeah, it was silly.
Like, it was just a crappy Jack.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like Kane's Hunter was super OP with Cray.
No, wasn't it Kane's Sentinel? It was
Sentinel. Oh, God.
It was,
that's right.
It was a Sentinel with armor.
D6 AP
piercing.
Shots.
At Powtan.
It was the chain gun jack
with AP.
Yeah.
The shield guard chain gun jack. So D6 shots with like Powtan armor.
They were just Powtan armor piercing shots.
They were not Powtan.
No, they're like Power 6.
Okay. But still. It was so pretty. Yeah.
I thought they were higher than 6.
It might have been 8. Anyway, it was, regardless, it was dumb.
Does Siege's Feet give... It just gives AP.
The first attack.
Like, it's AP for the first...
No.
It just has armor.
Worded the same as AP.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
so you
like
can...
Half, then
so it
half
stacks with
half.
AP.
He does stack with AP.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
No, it does stack, but...
But they don't.
They half, it. Then half, so it's a half and then a quarter.
No, it, because of the wording,
they
don't...
half
they,
of base
both,
armor. They both say
they both
half of
half
base
go
armor.
At the same time,
oh, okay.
But they don't have any additional effect.
Oh, okay.
It's not like a same named effect, but they both have, like, they're worded the exact same,
yeah.
So it's like half your base armor. Sweet. Armor 10. Half your base armor. It's like, that doesn't do anything.
Right.
You're,
I,
you know,
I
you're
got
already
you.
Armor 10.
Yeah.
But, like, then, because you've dealt damage to them, then Breach becomes expired.
Expires, yeah.
You, what you want to do is Cray's Feet, shoot it with a defender, and then shoot it
and
with a
shoot
with,
yeah.
Boom, boom.
Meaning
or,
Siege.
I mean, whatever.
A hunter.
A hunter.
Yep.
What is this?
Why are we talking about Siege
128?
I was just thinking about the Cyclone gun with AP and whether or not his
he just asked
ability.
About Siege's Feet.
Yeah.
Or pre rambling.
Just, yeah.
What's this fee called? Like breach?
Breach.
Yep. Yeah, breach.
He said it.
Wow. Breach.
Of contract.
Nice.
All right, let's knock these out.
So I don't want to be here all night. Big lawyer.
Obama said knock you out.
Breach of contract.
You're in breach of contract, sir.
Did you get that thing I sent you?
Why? I just have this vision of, like, Trevor from Chain Attack delivering subpoenas. You've been served. I'm out.
That was weird and random.
I don't know why. I just thought of Trevor.
Well, doesn't Trevor play? Or no, it's... Is it Jay that plays the Signer, or is it Trevor that plays Signer?
It's Jay.
It's Jay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know all the white people look the same, but...
War Machine Weekend was the first time I met those Chain Attack guys. They seemed pretty cool.
They're pretty sweet.
Yeah. Scott was fun on the podcast.
Yeah, I like those guys a lot.
Yeah. Scott the robot?
No,
Scott's the only one I haven't spent that much time with, but he seems pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. He's pretty hilarious, actually.
Apart from screwing my fantasy team and letting me down.
Dun, 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 dun.
It was fun to play werewolf with, at least.
And also boo on Trevor for not, you know, betting on his own man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
God, I want in on that next year.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
I didn't bet on Keith because you couldn't get anywhere near Keith at $1,000.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, I want Keith.
Yeah, Brian spent like $70.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Keith. You are the Adrian Peterson of War Machine.
Nice.
But you didn't.
Yeah. He pulled a hammy.
Yeah.
Totally screwed his fantasy teams over.
That's Pagani. Two players got Pagani for $0.
Yeah, it was really dumb. Yeah.
So he's the Julio Jones.
He's like the Julio Jones, sure.
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to share a dream that Carnage had of me.
Is it
pretty funny?
Is it very erotic? Or just
slightly erotic?
Decide.
Is it homoerotic?
He sent me this message on Facebook that was like, so here's a dream I had about you, which I imagine might be scary to hear from another guy. In my dream, we had most of the podcast crews hanging out, like Saturday night. For some reason, you were playing League of Legends, which I know is not your game, but in the game they had this joke contest. No idea why. You had some brilliant ideas for jokes, so you were sitting in a corner laughing to yourself, using a typewriter to get your jokes saved, and then using a fax machine to send them all in. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with that.
Carnage was Carnage on that day. Crazy. Really.
That was like the day after.
The most unbelievable part of that is that he was playing League of Legends and then using a typewriter to write the
I was
going to
say, because of the typewriter and the fax, I'm going to say this dream was slightly erotic.
Do you also have a beeper?
Rate it.
Wait, what's the scale?
Like two out of ten flaccid penises.
No, I was going to say like three ham sandwiches.
I was going to give it three flaccid penises. Wow. Three flaccid penises and a half chub.
All right. I hate it.